When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to TDL on SilverAndBlackPride.com.
Everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie, your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders whatever. You guys already know. Make sure you subscribe. It's your first time here, right? And like, you know, I always say, if you like it, hit the like button. If you dislike it, hit the dislike button. If you want to leave a comment, leave any comments you like. Like I said, we like all engagements. So make sure you do that. If you're hearing this on iTunes or Spotify, you know, already do hit the subscribe on iTunes, download on Spotify for everything Silver and Black Pride. You know, and then you can check us out at silverandblackpride.com as well. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at the Mark John NFL, at BD Williams 18 for BD. And, you know, make sure you get some Manscaped stuff as well, guys. Go ahead and get you some Manscaped discount TDL. All right, so today we're talking about the Bears, guys. We're talking Bears preview. We're looking at Chicago. You know, Khalil Mack's coming back. He's making a visit. You know what I'm saying?
There's a storyline.
Khalil Mack is coming. You know, he's coming back. You know, he's going to try to get his first sack on Derek Carr. Didn't get one a couple years ago. I'm sure he's hungry to sack Derek. I'm 100% sure he wants to sack his best friend because I would. So he wants to get a sack on Derek, you know. And you know, we got Justin Fields coming into town. No Andy Dalton. We got a young quarterback for this pass rush. So it's gonna be a interesting matchup for the Raiders. See how they bounce back from the loss to the Chargers. I appreciate you guys watching the Carfax too. You know, a lot of debates there. You know, debates of what's going on. It's gonna be exciting every time the Raiders lose.
I appreciate you separating that from this channel, you know, from this show, the Derek Carr stuff. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's
like you can't just say like, yeah, Derek Carr, he's a big quarterback. He's not the best quarterback in the world. You know, like you can't just say that. You have to either be like all the way for Derek Carr or all the way against him. It's so weird what Derek Carr represents to Raiders fans. Like, I just don't understand why it's such a big deal. But there's also another big deal. I don't know if you want to talk about this before the show ends.
Okay.
At the end of the show right now, but like the whole John Gruden thing happened as well. Like, we got to comment on it a little bit. Like, this show is about watching the film.
Yeah.
Right. But this is like a big off the field thing. It's about as big as it gets.
About as huge as it gets. Yeah.
Yeah. About as huge as it gets, especially like right now in the political climate that we're in today.
You know? Yeah.
So it seems like it's going to be rocky. I think that there's a question mark if John Gruden isn't like hold on to his job. I think the biggest question mark is like how the people in the locker room are going to continue to respond to him.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to like fight to get that trust back. And he's, I don't know if he's that kind of guy.
Oh yeah. The fight to get the trust back. Yeah. I wonder how much he is going to lose the locker room. I wonder about that because, you know, it's just the dynamic of, I mean, it depends on how he addressed it. We don't know how he addressed it. So he did address it. We don't know how he did it. We don't know what he said. We don't know how he talked to him. We don't know what he addressed. Did he let them talk? You know, like, we don't know what happened at that situation. So that's kind of the part that's kind of missing is like, yeah, we can assume the players would be upset. You know, we can assume that, you know, that would happen, but you know, we don't know that. We don't know that for sure. We don't know that what's going on in the locker room. They're a pretty tight knit group. You know, he's really got those guys to seriously buy in, you know, to his philosophy and his system and everything. Like, this is not like Jerry Richardson or the Carolina Panthers, or it's not like, you know, McNair over the Texans, you know what I'm saying? It's not the same type of thing. This is a coach, you know, right. This team's 3-1, you know, they have a good vibe it'll be interesting if he just, I don't think he's going to lose the locker room. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. We don't know how he addressed it. He addressed it.
That goes to what you're talking about. We got to find out. I don't know. The only way we're going to find out really truly how he addressed it is how the locker room responds. Right. So like they come out flat this weekend, like tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think that shows you how the locker room was handling it. You know, that's just my opinion. You know,
yeah.
They come out flat against the Bears. Bears are really struggling this year. They got a pretty good defense, but their offense is like, you know, it's in flux. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't lose that game based off of what we've seen from them so far this year. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they drop this one, it's like, okay, this has made it. It's the John Gruden thing that made an effect on me. We could talk about scheme. We could talk about technique, right? But, like, if the Raiders lose to the Bears right now, most likely the reason is because this thing that John Gruden said, unfortunately, that was, like, a racist trope against black people,
yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And their lip size. Like, call it for what it is. Like, you can't say that that's not okay. If you are, just log off this channel, man. Please, thank you. But... you know, if that's something that has like a negative effect, obviously, on the way that the players are responding to him, we're going to find out on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. Because it's all about how you address the team. So if he addressed the team and they're like, you know, cool. I mean, I still saw Keyshawn Nixon and Henry Ruggs dancing on Snapchat. So I guess they're, I don't know, they might be all right. So
we'll see.
Oh,
yeah. All right, so let's jump into it then.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about Bears offense a little bit. A lot of Justin Fields, because that's the quarterback. It was a quarterback change. You can't go back to week one. Bears offense, really, with Andy Dalton, it's going to be a different feel, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just took the one game that Justin Fields has started so far. We're going to talk about that. But it's the Cleveland Browns. What do you got for us today?
I mean, I got everything. The Bears defense, I actually got to watch all four games because I was weary last night, but I got to watch all four. So, I got clips from everything and, you know, kind of how the Raiders can attack and my thoughts on this new man match defenses all over the NFL that everybody's like in love with that. I think that, you know, it's just funny to be like, you know, I know we talked about this. We talk about this in the DM sometimes, but like the love for this defense. And to me, like, I keep asking, like, bro, isn't this just cover three? Like, they're playing man match cover three. Like, I feel like that at the end of the day, you have two high safety start and then the safety drops and then they just play man match cover three after the snap. It's like, I feel like it does happen every single time. It's like, boom, too high, da, 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 boom, too high, boom. Like, it's cover three over here, but it's not like really cover three because they're over here. You know what I mean? It's just interesting to me that, you know, we make fun of cover three all the time, but, you know, they just mastered cover three and just made it like a, you know, because NFL's single high league. So if you, you know, figure out how to, you know, have too high, but then, you know, match everything, but it's still technically single high because it's not like it's not like college. You know, college, they stay in man match. Usually they're too high, too much. I mean, maybe you could tell me better. I don't know. I cover seven Alabama. Maybe you could say better. But, you know, from what I'm seeing from, you know, this two defenses that I watch back to back, you know, I watch Brandon Staley, right? And then I watch Sean Desai. They both come from Vic Fangio. They both kind of run the same system. I mean, they run the same system. It's pretty identical from watching both systems and how they, you know, how the safeties move and everything. It's just interesting to me how, you know, everybody on Twitter calls a cover four or some kind of too high defense, but I feel like it's called cover three, like man, like it's like a.
So here's the thing. And this is the brilliant part. This is why everyone's really high on Brandon Staley. We're seeing some of this rub off around like the rest of the NFL.
Yeah.
So they are going to play too high and they're going to man the backside so that the backside safety is free. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
To close the middle of the field.
Okay.
As if it were cover three or cover one.
Yeah.
If he's getting threatened, if they see, like, he'll be back there, you know, at like 14 yards off on his side of the field, but he's going to read across the formation. He's going to see, oh, we got a post. Let me close the middle of the field. Right.
Yeah.
So they're like basically playing a combination of cover three and like a man match, like cover seven, like to the front side. They're going to be able to get tons of different calls. You know, if that's like the corner cutting the shallow, right? Or if it's the free safety coming up and playing that, you know, those guys are going to get to like tons of different calls to take away the team's, concepts, passing strength.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I think it's going to come down to the backside and how like Darren Waller can get open this game against that coverage on this.
Yeah, yeah. I got some examples of you know, exact schemes that were hurting the Bears that the Raiders run. So so I got some examples of that too. So
yeah,
we get into that.
Okay, cool. You want to go first or let me go first?
Oh yeah, I'll go first.
Let's okay, go for it. Yeah. Fun to watch this.
Yeah. All right. Ready? All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So let's get this, guys. We got the run defense first. So we're going to go over the Bears' run defense. This is probably the best run defense the Raiders will face. It's going to be tough for the Raiders to run the football this game. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I mean, they shut down one of the best run games and one of the best offensive lines in the league. Just straight shut them down. So you see right here, watch Khalil Mack set the edge. Roquan Smith come over the top. You ain't going nowhere, bro. You ain't going nowhere against this defense trying to run the football, right? And you see, you got big Mr. Tonga from BYU. Watch him push this dude right back. You know, these are good guards, bro. He's pushing right back into Dick Chubb. Tackle, right? So, I mean, no team was this year has really been able to run the football. I watched the Bengals game. They couldn't run the football either. See 90, 44, forcing, you know, that cutback. And then Keem Hicks just shuts it down, right? And then you got the safety coming in, making a tackle, right? It's just everything. Khalil Mack setting the edge again. Then Roquan Smith comes over top, force to come inside. Safety drops Gibson, tackle, right? And it doesn't matter. It's the Rams, too. The Rams are running football, too, right? They're a running football team as well. Boom, you know, you run the outside zone, everybody's everywhere, right? So they are a great rushing attack, run defense. They're a great run defense, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, with a lot of mid-zone gave them trouble. Like Jamal Williams and the Lions, they were able to get some run game going on them. And, you know, I love this scheme. Look at this, you know, mid-zone with the jet motion, right? I'll tell you. So, if, you know, you're able to get some disguise in run game. I mean, you're able to run the football, but, you know, Raiders don't do too much disguise with the run game. So it's going to be interesting if they even can. So pass rush is nasty. They have a nasty pass rush. We got a couple former Raiders here. Watch Mario Edwards get it in right here, right? Good pull rush, right? Nice little then rip, sack. Mario Edwards, he can beat you from the inside, right? So they can beat you from the inside as well. You got, you know, Robert Quinn with the nasty bend. I don't know, like, it's disgusting. Dude, that's probably the best bend in the NFL. And he can get around that corner. Colton Miller's going to have to bring his Wheaties. It's not going to be about Alex Leatherwood today. Colton Miller's going to have to bring it too. You know, and they come from everywhere. So watch, you know, Khalil Mack from the side. Then you got number 90 from the middle. Pressure, right? So, and it's quick pressure. Watch Robert Quinn again. They're just gonna force a sack fumble. Khalil Mack coming around. Nope, but there's that bend, sack fumble in the red zone. So, you know, Khalil Mack just being a playmaker, right? And then, you know, and this right here, this is fourth down. Watch Khalil Mack. You know, he's a Khalil Mack smart player too, and the way they use him is pretty good. Look like he stops them from getting the flat and it comes down, makes a sack. So they are a good pass rush. Okay. They're like one of the, you know, best pass rushes in the league. The Raiders offensive line, they better bring it. They better bring it, especially Colt Miller. Colt Miller is going to have to bring it. That's the best guy he's facing all year. All right. So we got Jalen Johnson, who is a baller. This dude is like probably one of the best young zone corners in the league. You see that right there, him peeking in the backfield. Nice transition. Pick it off, right? You just can't test him too much, right? You watch him again. Watch him in zone, bro. Right? Watch the transition. Boom. He runs the route for Odell Beckham. So this dude, you know, he's one of the best zone corners coming out of the draft in 2020, and he is developing. He is pretty damn good. He is a perfect fit for a man match coverage because he's such a good zone corner. Look at him, like good coverage right here. Knock the ball up, interception. Right, he's just a playmaker for their defense. He like you. I don't know how much Derek Carr should test him, to be honest. You watch him right here. Once again, they're in their man match coverages. He just locks up. Where are you going, T? You ain't going nowhere. Not going anywhere with him. Watch him play zone too. He's gonna just what I'm saying. Like his man match look, boom, brighten his back because he played it so perfectly, knowing exactly what to do. Right. So Jalen Johnson, he's a special player. You know, the Raiders got to watch out for him because they make a mistake, he might pick it off. All right. But the Raiders got to attack the rules. Okay. I mean, we talked about before man match coverages. They have to attack the rules. So one concept is really good. The Raiders run is sail. Okay. But they can't run 3-by-1 sail. They have to run 2-by-2 sail. So Darren Waller is the number two and not the number three, because it, you know, the corner has to carry the one, opens it up all the way for the number two, because the corner, based on the rules, he has to carry the one. See it one more time. He's going to carry the one, right? The sale is wide open every single time, but they can't do the 3-by-1. They have to do 2-by-2 sale. Okay. And then, like I said, attacking the rules. I mean, Sean McVay just basically abused them. He basically abused all the rules. This is a double post from the same side, right? So, right, he gets a one-on-one with the linebacker and the safety with Deshaun Jackson. So the Raiders have to sit on tape. That's Henry Ruggs right there. That is Henry Ruggs against the linebacker. And then you got, of course, you got these throwbacks, these deep posts, the Yankee concept type of things, right? These play action throwback that, you know, that the Rams love to run. Okay. So, and the Raiders have Yankee concepts, and they could use Henry Ruggs the same way and create these matchups. They did it against the Chargers, right? You see that? It's, you know, see how to push the safeties in a bind, the safeties, the corners. Jalen Johnson's letting them go. Touchdown. Because it messes with all the rules. So you have to attack their rules, but you are going to need time to do it. So I'm not just assuming that this is so easy. They're going to need time to do it. Cause then you got Mills right here, or you got a Mills concept, and you know, this eats them up too. Watch it here. Matthew Stafford, read this. Matthew Stafford's awesome on dig route. So that's what really killed him, right? Clears everything up. Everything's clear for the middle of the field. Robert Woods ever to make that play. Easy, easy, easy peasy. So, I mean, if you can attack their rules, you have a good day. And I think John Gruden knows how to attack rules, right? He knows how to. He really tried to against Chargers. They just didn't have the time, you know, to get the passes off. And you are going to need time to beat this defense. I mean, I'm not going to lie. To beat this defense, you're going to need time. You're going to need a little bit of time. So, they might have to go a little bit more max protection, you know, play action Yankees, a lot of play action, protect everything so they can attack the rules while they're having, like, a lot of protection. So more max protection, more type of things like that, more chips. But, you know, they got to keep the post routes. I really like what Sean McVay was doing, like, you know, the double post, because that really puts them in a serious bind. They got two posts coming around. And that's what I was talking about a little bit, how it's a little bit of mixture cover three, because you saw, you know, the Raiders have that problem where, you know, you put a 3-by-1, right, and the linebacker has to carry it. We saw that with that same defense, right? But right. You know, the Rams did it different. They did a 4-by-1, so which really put them in a bind, because you got four guys on one side, and then who's taking number three? So you know, it puts them, their mind, you know, of their rules, you know? So that's what you want to attack, especially with the zone defense. I mean, that's how you attack a zone defense. You have to attack their rules, because the same way with that sale route, if they do a 3-by-1, they play it totally different if the third guy is running the sale. But if number two is running the sale, it becomes a different outlook for Jalen Johnson, because it's his rule. He might come off it, but if he does, right? I mean, Derek Carr's just gonna, the next time he does, he's gonna hit the go route, because that's something Derek Carr's been doing a lot better this year too, is that if you do one thing early on, he's gonna hit you the next time. And that's something that he's been adjusting really well with. You know, the Darren Waller play that got taken back, you know, he rarely hits that on choice routes. He rarely hits that corner. But, you know, against the Chargers, he hit it because it was a decision that he had to make because based on the coverages they were playing. So that's why. So Derek Carr's seeing the field a whole lot better. So if they're doing these type of, you know, he's, you know, if they're doing sale routes, and this is the 2-by-2 sale routes, which the Raiders do, they do sale routes with just two guys. And if they start doing that, I think he could eat. And then if they start chipping up, I mean, you just hit every Ruggs over the top. I think yeah. Waller and Ruggs can have a big game.
The stress about breaking some of these rules for, like, when we're talking about man match, we're talking about defenses on the second level where everyone technically has a man. They just wait for the routes to distribute.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, like, they're going to back up. Okay. Now that's my guy because he's in my area. Right.
Yeah.
Or this is the final count. And then they'll take that guy. They'll buy that guy. Right. So, like, yeah, there's a lot of rules to that, and that's mm-hmm. why it is like a nice little combination of zone and man, right?
Yeah.
Match. Uh-huh. Okay, but you can only do that and start breaking the rules if you have everyone out in the pattern.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
you can't run 2- and 3-man patterns against a man match team. Like, everyone's gonna be doubled at that point.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, so if they keep the tight ends in to pass protect or to back into chip, I don't know if they're going to be able to take advantage.
Okay. So it's going to be tough, you know, that offensive line or the offensive line of the Raiders going up against this pass rush that you showed us was pretty terrifying, honestly. Like the way that Quinn and Khalil Mack are playing, like, gosh, come on.
They're playing great. Like Mario Edwards is playing awesome too. Like don't sleep on Mario Edwards. Like, yeah. He's from a Raider too, but he's playing really well. He's playing really well too. Tonga inside, like that's why teams can't run the ball. He's a rookie, but he is a stuffer. Like he is like a nose guard. Like if you built one in a lab, that's Tonga, you know. So I mean, they got a really good defensive line. It's just in the back end they're not very good. I don't think they're very good in the back end. That's why I think you can attack them a little differently. And I will say
coverage.
Coverage. I mean, Jalen Johnson's awesome. I'm not sleeping on Jalen. Jalen is terrific. I mean, he's really taking a leap. You know what I mean? Like he's taking that second year. I know what's happening in the NFL, you know, kind of like Trayvon Diggs is taking, right?
Yeah.
You know, that leap that we wanted to see Damon Arnette take, you know, like that, you know, I know what's going on now, route recognition type of things, you know, Jalen Johnson is doing that. Like he's developed really well. Right. And so he's going to play really well. I mean, you can't really attack him. You see, the Rams didn't. The Rams just kind of went away from him as much as possible. And they just kind of like, you know, either attacked the other side or they went away from him as much as possible. And that was week one, you know what I mean? So, you know, you didn't even really know he was taking that leap. So, yeah. I mean, because they got
I think that the Raiders game plan last week against the Chargers could work against the Bears this week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't work because the Chargers were gonna score too many points. But this Bears team, their offense, like they're not gonna score tons of points. Like this is not a good looking offense that I'm about to show you. That's easily the worst one we've seen all year, even worse than Miami. So, you know, if they like just say, hey, we're gonna run the ball, right? Like the entire first half, and just try to wear this defense down so they could start buying some time and passing on them, you know, later on in the game. That seems like a John Gruden game plan. We'll see.
Okay.
But yeah, you got to be able to, you know, kind of gas these guys, gas this pass rush a little bit by running the ball, because if they're teeing off on you all game long into the fourth quarter, it's going to be tough sledding.
It's real tough sledding. And I will say they were able to get some deep routes on max protection against the Chargers. So, I mean, the way they set it up, you know, John Gruden's really good at setting up condensed, you know, formations for those two-man routes. So they were still able to get one-on-ones because the way they do their splits when they run like the Yankee and NCAA is basically Yankee without play action. So that makes sense. I know I said NCAA a lot in the Carfax. So basically that's the Yankee concept without play action is the NCAA concept. Okay. So, you know, when they run a lot of those, he does it in like condensed sets. So like even the Henry Ruggs post that that happened late in the game, the Derek Carr hit late in the game, that's from a 3-by-1, but then the dig came from a tight end. So it creates, you know, matchups. So John Gruden knows how to beat this. Derek Carr just needs the time to beat it. And that's what we saw in the second half. Once he started getting time, they were able to start picking them apart a little bit because they have good schemes for these guys. I mean, that's what Derek Carr does. You know, the Raiders always do good against Vic Fangio, you know, and those type of schemes that we got next week. He said we got three man-to-match teams in a row. It's the same defense over and over again. I feel like I'm going to be a man-match master. I basically am at this point.
At one point, this offense has got to be able to work one of these defenses.
Yeah, and they were against Chargers. So I'm saying, like, late in the game, once you got time, the things that they wanted to do, they start working. Like they started, the Raiders, basically what I was showing was what the Raiders tried to do to the Chargers. They ran sail routes. They ran post routes. They tried to do it. It's just like they had free rushers coming through. So Derek Carr couldn't hit the post route or they have a, you know, Joey Bosa beats Alex Leatherwood. They can't hit the sail route. So it's more about time to me. If they have the time, which is a question mark, they can pick this defense apart for sure.
All right. We'll see.
It's all about time, bro. I don't know. Are they going to have time? I don't know. We'll see. Colt Miller, he's been taking it off for a while. He's been facing some weak dudes over there. He's having this great season, but every team has been putting their best pass rush. I've never seen a good pass rusher against Colt Miller all year.
Right. They put their best on. Yeah.
This week, he better bring his Wheaties. Yeah. I hope he's ready. We're going to find out how good of a year he's really having, because he really hasn't faced anybody. He's been, I mean, they all just been setting up to just destroy Leverwood. So, I mean, Joey Bosa didn't even like, he rushed from the other side like twice. He literally was, and he's a mover. Like, they move him around a lot, and they didn't move him.
Yeah, they didn't move him.
They didn't. Yeah. The Dolphins didn't move Emmanuel Ogba. He rushed from the same side every single time. T.J. Watt, you know, he moves all the time. When they played the Raiders, he didn't leave the right side, his left side, whatever. But you know, that's gonna be so. Colt Miller, this is gonna be his really, really first test. We're gonna see how good he's playing too. So
yeah, for sure. It's gonna be a tough one because their offense, but I think this is a good transition. You know, if we're going to talk about the other side of the ball, the Bears offense, okay, it's got to start with conversation about the offensive line, okay? Now, the Bears offensive line, I'm not very impressed with. It seems like someone's always getting beat no matter what. You see 74 just got beat like a drum right now, and this is a really good defense here, obviously. Okay, but it's not like there was one weak link. It was like those were two tackles getting beat here. Okay, oh, quarterback doesn't pick up a free rusher. Like they gave up a tremendous number of sacks. It's pretty crazy to see that. That was a tough game to watch for Justin Fields. I feel like tough game to be his first first start as a quarterback, you know. That being said, even though he got sacked a ton, offensive line having a tough time protecting him, himself included, there were some, you know, some glimpses of him making some saucy plays out there. You know, we see this one right here.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
He's going to get pressured again. Okay. And then no look, underhand pass to the tight end sitting there. That's like, you know, some Patrick Mahomes stuff, you know? And then he could also run with it a little bit. And I do think that there needs to be a plan in place for stopping him from getting outside of the pocket and picking up yards with his legs. We don't want this to be a breakout game for Justin Fields going up against the Raiders. Right?
Nice slide, bro. That's a nice slide.
Now, here's the question mark for Justin Fields in the passing game. I feel like he has a pretty slow release. You see him pat the ball there and then a big wind up. And I think that part of this is contributing, okay? We see the pat, we see the wind up, and it seems like every single pass that he threw was contested. And I've really never even seen that before. And I just think that he takes such a long time getting the ball out of his hands that he's telegraphing some of these throws, and these, you know, these defenders are all over his throws. They're sitting on everything. And I think that, you know, it's going to be tough for him to work that out of his game in 1 week, right? So the biggest thing is for the Raiders defense to capitalize, you know, if it's all underneath, it's all checkdowns that he's throwing, okay, in all of these clips, right? And they're still contested. Raiders don't contest those. And you'd hate to see them just sit back and break on the ball all game long and not make some contested catches when it's such a slow release. It's such a long windup. If they can't do it against Justin Fields, then who can they do it against right now? You know?
Yeah. You're right, man. You know, Bears fans have to come out here and be mad you didn't show the Lions game. Like, you didn't show the Lions game. Why didn't you show him balling against the Lions? But the difference between the Lions game and the Browns game, which he still only threw 17 passes. Let's keep it real. He didn't like the world on fire or nothing. Like, he came out was like 25 or 35. He was 17 for 11. And then the flip side, he was 0 for 5 under pressure. So he was under pressure 6 times. He was 0 for 5.
Yeah.
So that kind of tells you how he's handling pressure right now, no matter what. Even when the Lions got pressure on him, he wasn't very good. It's 0 for 5. And the reason why he was so good against the Lions, what I'll address is because the total opposite happened in the game that you're showing. He had a clean pocket. And when he has a clean pocket, he's able to throw deep like he likes to. And he's a very accurate quarterback. So if he could put the football wherever he wants to. But what you saw in the Browns game is that they were just jumping on everything because he takes so long to throw the ball. And then or when they got pressure, you showed one play that, you know, when they blitzed him, he had on the play action, he basically had a bang route that was wide open and he could have hit it, but he couldn't get his motion. So he got sacked. Yeah.
And there's also another one too. This is just like going to him being a young player. Yeah. You know, he's got a 5-man protection and they send six and there's a free rusher right at him. That's for him. He's got to know, okay, no one's going to be able to block this guy. I got to get this ball out now. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's just stuff that you learn when you're a veteran quarterback, right? You don't necessarily know all that stuff when you're a rookie. So I'm not saying that Justin Fields isn't going to be good at any point. I just think that right now it would be, you know, pretty tragic to see
him pick the Raiders apart.
Yeah, him pick the Raiders apart for sure.
It'd be tragic. I would be upset.
Yeah. But, you know, that being said, like what you're talking about with the big plays, okay? I think that the Raiders stay on top of everything. Like, that's their number one thing. Okay? Mm-hmm. And where we've seen the Raiders contest catches at a really high rate is on the deep passes on the outside with their corners, right? So I think that if that's really what their game is, then, you know, our corner, like Amik Robertson obviously has to come in for Trayvon Mullen. So we'll see about Amik, you know, if he's able to handle Mooney, you know, and if Casey Hayward's able to handle Allen Robinson. These guys are really fantastic players. Mm-hmm. It's just up and down offense right now. So we're not going to know how dangerous they really are. But, you know, hopefully we see the Raiders come out and have a good game plan and replicate some of that pressure with their defensive line. You know, with Max Crosby, Unique Ngakoue, I think this could be a big game from Unique Ngakoue. I'm not liking that left tackle out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about for this game is why I feel pretty comfortable about it, because the Raiders play defense now. They play a lot better defense. You know, the defense efficiency is really good. You know, people make fun of Gus Bradley and his defense all the time, but their efficiency is pretty damn good this year, right? It's better than the offense, their efficiency.
Yeah.
I expect them. And I have a lot more confidence going into the games this year because I'm like, especially after the Chargers game. I mean, after watching them, you know, play the Chargers really well, you know, I have a lot of confidence in this defense. I think I have more confidence in the defense than I do the offense right now, which is just a flip. I mean, I feel like more fans feel that way. I think that's why a lot more fans feel comfortable going into games now. Because one, we know they're going to rush the passer. Like, it's known. It's like, is it just lines? You know, they went up against the Chargers and they got like a whole bunch of pressure on Herbert, right? So, I mean, it's not more of a, you know, a if anymore. It's like, it's an unknown thing. They're going to get pressure, right? They're going to get pressure inside a little bit. They're going to get pressure outside for sure. You know, that is a known thing. We know the Raiders are going to get a good pass rush against, doesn't matter who it is. It's been right. 4 weeks. We know that their pass rush is legit at this point. So since that pass rush is there, man, I feel comfortable going into games against offenses like this because, you know, even though the Dolphins came back or whatever, the Raiders are still able to control them for most of the game, you know? The offense got conservative at the, you know, with the lead. But for most of the game, go ahead.
There's one area where this team is struggling. I mean, I keep on saying it. I'm sounding like being a dead horse here. But stopping QB scrambles is a serious, you know, area. And even the Chargers are so smart. It was just brilliant. You know, I should have thought of this myself. I don't know why. I've never thought about it. But because they knew once they get a pass set, this defensive line forgets all about the run and just gets upfield, right? Yeah. And that's the reason why these quarterback scrambles have been open. The Chargers just ran a draw with the running back instead, just to replicate that kind of thing without having to put their quarterback in harm's way. So I thought that was pretty brilliant, honestly. So those two areas, Raiders right now, that's like the biggest struggle for them. Everything else, honestly, they're doing solid with. I know that it was like a big thing about a lot of quote unquote smart football people are upset that Gus Bradley is still running his version of cover three in today's day and age.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, wait, Justin Herbert had like his lowest yards per attempt and in totals, you know, for yards and stuff like that. So obviously it worked a little bit against, you know, a guy that people are sucking off right now. Excuse my language. If it's such a terrible defense, why did Justin Herbert throw for 218 yards or whatever?
Yeah, on 38 attempts, 5.8 YPA. The Raiders are allowing a net YPA of 5.5, which is seventh in the NFL. The teams can't pass on them. I don't know why we're acting like they're a bad pass defense. That's not true. His stats don't say that.
It's because it's old school, and it's about everyone dropping and breaking on the ball. And there's no, like, it's not scheme. It's, like, technique. That's what it's about. And just being, like, a great athlete out there, you know? So a lot of, like, the scheme gurus are like, this is too simple. This is dumb. This can be beat like this, like this. As if, like, no other team gives up a big pass play, you know, every once in a while. So, yeah. It's just funny that, like, the scheme people don't like Gus Bradley because it's just so simple out there, you know? But there's a point to it, and the proof is in the pudding. And if you're saying like it's top 10, you know, yards per attempt, you know, I think they are doing some really good things. I think that there's just a couple of things that they got to, you know, tighten up and continue to tighten up to like maintain this trajectory that they're having. But yeah, like it's possible that this is like borderline top 10 defense at the end of the year. Someone though in the interior is going to have to step up and become an impact player. Yeah. Before we can start saying, yeah, this is a great defense. So
I wouldn't say it's great. I would say it's they are good with two great edge rushers. That's what I would say. They're a good defense with two great edge rushers. And I'm going to say Mack Crosby is great. I feel comfortable saying that at this point. Like I think he's a great player. He's on the verge of being elite, to be honest, in my opinion, just from you know. His numbers, the way he's putting up, the numbers he's putting up, the way he's playing, it's pretty easy. It's become, that's what I'm talking about. It's become a consistent thing. It wasn't just like week one, like, okay, all right, it's the first. That's the just the Ravens line. And then week two, oh, whatever. Okay, the Steelers don't have a good line. So, yeah. Week three, okay, well, the Dolphins don't have a good line. And then you play Chargers. This is the game. They're controlling him. Even when the first half, you saw people, he's controlling Max Crosby. We don't hear about Mack Crosby. And the dude had like six pressures still. They're stupid. Yeah. They're trying to
figure out. So the way I do when I chart, right?
Yeah.
I take track of like every single defensive play, obviously. But then I'm also like, if a defensive end or any defensive lineman rusher is like making contact with the quarterback, okay? Yeah. And the ball comes out though, and it's a completion, right? Like, I don't log that as a hurry. If they are making contact with the quarterback, like they're in the quarterback space, the quarterback's having to change the trajectory of their pass or whatever, get the ball out, and it results in an incompletion, then I do chart that as a hurry. Okay. Like that, and that's just the way that I'm keeping track of it, because like what's the point of tracking a hurry if the ball is completed, you know, like whatever, who cares? So right now, tracking things like that, obviously a sack is going to, you know, go in that category of a defensive stop, you know, tackle short to gain, you know, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Mack Crosby is leading all defensive linemen or, you know, in the number of stops that he has.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's not, you know, surprising. But the funny thing about it with Mack Crosby is it's basically all in the pass game. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's about his effect on the quarterback. And I think that he does enough in key moments, right, that it's helping this team stay in games.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the most important thing. I think that there have been quarters or even a half so far this season where he hasn't made like a big impact.
Okay.
But the difference is now you got guys like Yannick Ngakoue, Darius Filon having his best year of his career, Solomon Thomas having like the best year of his career, right? Carl Nassib having one of the best years of his career so far.
Yeah.
You know, like these guys now stepping their game up where it's not like Mack Crosby just has to do this for four quarters.
Yeah.
And that's like the problem also that we've seen from Mack Crosby is his year is like going up, up, up. And then he hits like week 12 and it's just like, doesn't really do a bunch after that because he's tired. You know, like the guy's like playing like all the snaps, like he's like leading snaps. You can't be a defensive lineman and lead your team in snaps. You know, you have to take some breaks. You have to take some time off. You got to catch your wind so that you can get out there and have fresh legs. I don't care if you have like this incredible Energizer Buddy battery that everyone talks about. Like, no, get like that's, and that's, I think, the biggest improvement here. Max Crosby, most impactful for sure. Defensive lineman. Yeah. Right. Mm. But there's other guys also making impact that, you know, he doesn't have to do it all himself all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, so like that just goes to what you're talking about. The pass rush is there. It's not, you know, we saw Darius Finlon have a great game. We saw Solomon Thomas have a great game before.
Yeah.
You know, it's so it's fun to watch that. You know, so far I think that the defensive line is making a good impact. Would like to see, you know, some guys in the make some contested catches, some interceptions, you know.
Yeah, that's what they need. Yeah, they haven't got a takeaway since week one.
No, week two.
Week two, yeah.
Technically, Hunter Renfrow tackling that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Knocking the ball out. Technically, that is a turnover on downs.
Oh, yeah. That is. Oh,
but
yeah.
The defense didn't get that turnover. The punt team did. The punt return team did, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really count for them. But the team has had that turnover on downs, but it's just the Ben Roethlisberger interception, terrible decision that he made to Trayvon Mullen. That's the only interception, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would love to see, like, we got to see a forced fumble, you know.
Give me some.
Like, come on. We got enough pressure. These guys got to start, you know. And with this long windup that he has, we're going to see
Yannick. Yeah.
He's going to go for that coming around. He'll get, like, the offensive tackle will just, like, go right around, take him right around the circle, where there will be, like, a little, you know, tomahawk come down, karate chop that ball out because with that big, long windup that he has. So he's right for that. Defense just needs to start making some plays on the ball, I would say, taking the ball away. But other than that, I think they're playing pretty darn good.
Okay. All right, man.
Anything else that we want to go over in preview for this show? We talked about John Gruden, you know, so go back to the beginning of that of the episode if you want to hear our thoughts on that. So make sure you follow us on Twitter, myself at BDWilliams18, Marcus at TheMarkJohnNFL. We might hit you up with some extra little tidbits, if it's stats, if it's clips before the game starts, you know, and, you know, always hit us up on Twitter if you have questions about anything, because we do both answer tons of questions from our supporters on Twitter. So we appreciate that from you guys. Make sure you also go to Manscaped and enter the promo code TDL for 20% off any purchase that you make. Some very comfortable underwear, you know, some grooming products for you if that's what you're into. That's how I keep my head shaved, bald, okay? Just straight up. I can't grow hair. I need Manscaped in my life. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's it from us, Raider Nation. We appreciate you guys, as always.
Apologies. Peace.